T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
You know, when the Bills made the deal last night to move from 28 to 32, I saw a lot of, well, you always wanted to pick 32. This just isn't how we envisioned it, right? Because 32 obviously is usually the Super Bowl champion. And then, like, a half hour later, it's, well, they're not at 32, they're at 1. Well, this isn't, never really want to pick at 1, but I guess this is okay. What a wild swing. Oh, my gosh. Welcome into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, what do you, it's just confusion, right? I think for a lot of people, it's a good way to put it. Why did you do it? What does it mean? Where do you go from here? Everything running just through everybody's heads last night. And here we had, Joe, a you know, 3-4 month buildup to the wide receiver train, to the Bills in the first round, what they're going to do. Could they do anything other than that after trading Stephon Diggs? And we walk away with, oh, they didn't take anybody. Let's do it again on Friday night. The Bills are on the clock. What was it like for you guys out at Resurgence at your draft party?
It was tense early. So in the top 10, of course, everyone was thinking, all right, maybe we get the monster trade up. There was some rumors and there were reports about the Bills wanting to move up, maybe. And every pick was just, I truly believe, Sal, that somewhere there's a Chargers draft party in Los Angeles that, you know, might not have a ton of people at it. We saw a video of the Rams draft party on ESPN yesterday and there weren't a ton. There's a Chargers draft party somewhere that maybe did like a nice golf clap when they picked Joe Alt, the tackle. There was an eruption in Buffalo with over 250 people that we had at our party. When the Chargers took a tackle, it was like the Sabres scored a playoff goal. It was loud. People were fired up. Then the booing when Neighbors goes, the disgruntled reaction when Odunze goes. And then, yeah, later when they pick, or out on the clock at 28, and when the Chiefs logo flashed across the, at first there was already like unrest a little bit when it saw Bill's trading pick. And everyone was,
well,
on,
let me
Twitter,
ask you this. Did you guys follow, you know how you can get, you know how you can get the pick early? Like, we're in the Bills media room. There's what, 40 people in there.
Yep.
And I'll explain like how it worked, but if you want, you know what's happening before it's on TV, right? I mean, how did you do that at all?
We had a good understanding from pretty much everybody that we're no one tipped the pick beforehand, tip what's happening. We're all going to react at the same time, live together. It'll be the best way to do this. And I'm sure some people were on Twitter. There was, you know, some of that, but not much. Like, I don't think I knew what was happening until the logos flashed on the screen. So Bills trading pick. Everyone's going, oh, what? And then Chiefs logo flashes across the screen. And it was, there was, people were about to throw things. It was not a positive environment at all when that Chiefs logo flashed across the screen.
I can imagine, right? And the way you're describing it, maybe you guys should have had a one of those parties where you walk in the door, you got to put your phone in a bowl or something. It can't be on Twitter. We're going to have this just, everybody's got to react in real time. I love that. In the media room, I give credit to my colleagues and everybody in there because although everyone pretty much was watching along on social media to know what was happening, no one really said anything unless you wanted to know. Like, for example, like I'm sitting there and I like to watch it on TV, but at the same time, you have to be prepared. If the Bills are going to make a move, you know, that's our job to be ready for that. We need to be prepared. So you're kind of watching, you know, they get to 8 and the Falcons are there and you're like, okay. And all of a sudden I just hear a couple people go, ooh, I'm like, wait, what? I'm thinking, did the Bills do something? So I looked at, looked at Jonathan Acosta. He was sitting next to me, Channel 2. And I go, did something happen? He goes, do you want to know? That's what he said. Right. And I'm like, yeah, I want to know. Yes. And then they're like, you're just going to be surprised at what the Falcons did. I'm like, is it involved the Bills? No. Okay. Then it was Michael Penix. Right. Yeah. So that's how it worked for us, which is people knew. If you wanted to know. And if not, you could watch TV and you could be surprised by it. But then if you do that, you kind of feel like you're behind everybody else and everybody knew what you already knew, what you were just finding out. So that was kind of interesting. And when that happened, it was kind of the same reaction, to be quite honest with you, which is, oh, the Bills are trading down. Now, in the media room, now, everybody's got their own little peek behind the curtain here. Everybody's got their own jobs to do, obviously. But it kind of does matter differently if you're TV or your radio or your print. And, you know, the different deadlines and timelines and how you operate. And especially TV people. Like, TV people are, the draft is on, what, ABC? So, like, Bove's at Channel 7. They're going to carry the draft all night before he goes back on. You know, and you got John Scott now at Channel 2 and Josh and Heather at Channel 4. And, you know, their job is to kind of react in real time and go on at certain times. So once they trade down, they're kind of, everything kind of gets thrown for a loop for them. Like, what they're doing. For me, it's not as bad because it's like, I'm going to go on the air and talk with Nate and the gang no matter what. Whether they pick somebody or decide to trade, I can chime in kind of whenever I want. So it's not a big deal. But at the same time, you're prepared all night for this pick. And as soon as that happens, Joe, like you said, all this, oh my God, the Chiefs, everybody's like crazy. It's, okay, Bills are trading down. We were kind of prepared for that. Then there were two reactions about the Chiefs, which are, oh my God, I can't believe they're trading with the Kansas City Chiefs. That is a vibe, right? Wow, that really takes some guts from Brandon Bean. Then the next reaction is, oh, wait a minute. We're still going to work tonight because they're going to 32. Like, they didn't trade out of the first round. They're going to have a pick here. We got to get back in. They're going to draft mode. And then later on it was, oh my God, I can't believe we waited down here all night. We're doing our jobs. We got to go on. We got to talk about this. And there's no pick. We're going to talk about what's happening tomorrow. But the ultimate mm-hmm. kind of feeling walking out of there very late, early morning hours was, I can't believe they traded with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the team that they're trying to beat. And it's the team that you traded with in 2017 that everyone still talks about with Patrick Mahomes and how that deal ultimately wound up. That is absolutely the storyline of the night. The storyline of the night is not the Buffalo Bills traded out of the first round. The storyline of the night is the Buffalo Bills traded with the Kansas City Chiefs to quote-unquote allow the Chiefs to move up 4 spots and grab the fastest wide receiver in the history of the NFL Combine. That is what people are talking about today. And there are so many fascinating ways that you can try and look at this. And we're going to have some clips from Brandon Bean and what he said about it last night. But really, the first thing you get to is, I can't believe it's the Chiefs, right? I mean, that's what you guys are thinking. That's what you're thinking. That's what you and Jeremy talked about a lot this morning. I just can't believe it's the Chiefs. Anybody but the Chiefs, right?
Anybody but the Chiefs. Pretty much, yeah. I mean, my biggest problem with it might be that they didn't make the Chiefs pay a premium. Like, by all the charts, this was not a very expensive move-up for Kansas City. I don't need an automatic rule that if certain teams call you, you hang up. If the Chiefs call you, you just don't even listen to them. Or if the Dolphins call you or the Jets. I don't need that. Like, Jeremy asked me earlier, like, if you're the Bengals, should you be willing to trade T. Higgins to the Bills? And my answer was the same that I would want for a lot of these situations, which is, oh, no, I'll be willing to take their call. I'll be willing to trade him there, but that there are certain teams that got to pay more. And usually that's in division, right? There's a story about Donovan McNabb where the Eagles didn't want to trade him to Washington, but they told Washington, like, if this is your price. Like, your price is higher than everybody else because you have to convince us to do this in our own division. Chiefs are not in the division, but that's your rival. That is the team you can't get over. And I would want, all right, we'll give you your ticket. We'll give you the guy you want. We'll let you get there and make sure you get him. But you're not just giving us the blue book value. You're not giving us the market rate. And I do feel like, given what was given up, it feels like they gave up the market rate to move back. And that's the part that just doesn't sit well with me.
Okay, this is really interesting because I want to bring something up on this and ask you a question, but let's just kind of let everybody know what we're doing today. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, he's in our Amherst studios. I'm in Studio Capaccio. I'll be down at One Bills Drive a little bit later today because the Bills are on the clock all day today, essentially. They're going to be fielding calls. We'll get into that, what lies ahead today and tonight for the Buffalo Bills. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Josh Reed from WIVB-TV Channel 4 is going to join us at 10:30. Josh, he was on paternity leave for quite a while. He came back. This is what he comes back to. He comes in and goes and ready to go to work. And then, wait a minute, they didn't draft anybody. But he was down at One Bills Drive last night. We'll get his thoughts. And then Eric Wood at 11:05. I thought it was interesting. Eric actually texted me this morning about everything. And I got the sense a little bit, I don't know this, Eric was a little fired up. Like, not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like fired up that people are fired up. Like, wait a minute. Like, people need to understand this or that, and it's really cool because I want to get Eric's thoughts on that. So we're going to have Eric at 11:05 today here on the Extra Point Show. Okay, Joe, so totally understand totally what you just said about what they got. But it was the best deal then. They're not making a deal with another team unless it's better. So even though you say, so in your scenario, you have one of three options essentially. You either take the best deal, which is Kansas City, even though that's the only thing they're offering, and you know the not premium, as you put it.
Yeah.
Or you take a different deal, which isn't as good. Or you just don't take a deal at all and take a guy you don't really want to take. I mean, so you're okay then. So yeah. I mean, I guess I would lay it out. Which one would you rather have then there?
I'd rather take the lesser deal. Yeah. If it's an NFC team, you know, like if I'm giving that player or you know, it doesn't have to be the same player, right? Someone doesn't have to be moving up for Worthy specifically, but I'm not doing business with them. If they think they've got to move up to get their guy, then I see value in that. I see value in the team that beats you every single year in the playoffs not getting the scenario they want. And let them take the risk. Let's see if Dallas wants Worthy because Jerry Jones was connected to him and loves the Texas guys. Let's see if Baltimore would do it because they've been connected to receiver. Maybe they liked Worthy. The Niners picked a receiver. So would they have done Worthy instead of Pearsall? Maybe not. Like there is, of course, a chance that the Chiefs would have got him anyway at 32. But they felt they had to go up and get him. And I would feel that there is value in the team you are competing with more directly than anybody else. You are.
Would you feel differently if they took a tackle? Would you feel differently if the Chiefs took an offensive tackle or a defensive player? Does it matter that they took Worthy for this how you're laying it out?
I think so. I think definitely that being receiver exaggerates it a little bit more for me. But yeah, I don't want to do business with them unless they are going to pay me a premium. Yeah, I you're right though. Like to point out that if they trade up for a linebacker or something, I probably wouldn't feel as aggressively about it, but in principle I still would want to be in the same place, I think.
Because Brandon Beam was asked last night, did you have any clue on who they were going to take? He said no. Like they don't tell you that they don't know who they're coming up to take. He even went as far as he was asked, did you think they might take Worthy? And he's like, maybe. He said, I knew they might want a receiver. It honestly seemed to me like he did not care at all who they took. He just went with the straight deal. And that's because what he said was Brandon Beam, was moving from 133 to 95, moving 38 spots. He said, that's a full round. It's more than a round. It's more than 32 picks. He said, so that's the part that he was focused on. That's the value he was looking at. And I understand the charts say that, well, it's not great value. And Seth Walder said it's the cheapest move up for a non-QB we've seen in a while. But to Brandon Bean, that was the part that really got him. He got over 32 picks. Okay, so I have a different issue than you do with this. I don't care about that. I don't care about who you're trading with. Brandon Bean even said they talk with teams in their division, by the way. And if it makes sense, it makes sense. I don't care who they trade with. The thing I care about is you had no number one wide receiver after you traded Stephon Diggs. They said right after that that they don't necessarily need one to be successful. And I'm like, but that doesn't sit right with me. Like, I think you kind of got to have one. I don't really love what you have right now at the top of the depth chart. The other guys, you know, you can fill in. You got some nice pieces. You go into last night, really the only guys you could even argue could be a number one receiver are the top four. And even Brian Thomas Jr. would be kind of debatable if he'd be able to walk in and be able to do that right away. So chances are you wouldn't. But, you know, if you really want one, you can try and do it. Now, it's certainly not the case. You're still walking out of here, Joe. I don't care what they do this weekend as far as the draft. Now, if they go and get a rostered player, a Debo, an Ayuk, a T. Higgins, a little different. But I don't care who they draft. They still have no number one wide receiver on this team. That's still, to me, a hole. Brandon Bean said it's not a glaring hole. I think it is. I think you have to still find your way there because no matter who you choose at wide receiver, if you do go that route and you grab two of them, let's say even tonight, they're just guys that are going to be hopefully good to play, but they fit right in with Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir right there with that group.
Yeah. The evaluation of receiver for them is really troubling to me. Like, what this is, it's not new. This is not the first year of this. I mean, there have been the past couple of drafts where I've made the same point. The analogy I always use is the baseball one for this. Like, why does it feel like at that position, the Bills need a pitch right down the middle to swing at it? Like, why no curveball at all? Like, because when you pick that late in the first round, like, it's hard to imagine you're ever going to get the perfect pitch. And I've got other teams that, I mean, I'd be guessing on some level, but can I assume the Chiefs had a first-round grade on Xavier Worthy? I mean, maybe the Niners, I could do the same thing with Ricky Pearsall, whatever. Like, these teams get to a
place. I would also add the Chiefs might have also had the Chiefs may have also felt a little bit more pressured because of the Rashee Rice situation to make sure they got a guy they had ranked higher.
But is their situation any more desperate than the Bills?
I don't know. It's a good question. Probably not. I mean, obviously they felt much better about
maybe.
Worthy.
Yeah, because like right? they have Marquise Brown too. Like,
yep, that's
and
true.
The Bills have Curtis Samuel, so maybe it's not. Maybe it's kind of close. But the Bills, I think, should have been feeling that type of pressure too, and or acting in that way. Why do I feel like they never can get to a place where they fall in love with one of these wide receivers? Like, it's Bean drafts receiver less than any team in the league in the top 100 picks, and we know how he is. When he's got a guy, he wants to go get him. He wants to make sure he go to sleep at night with that guy. And it never appears that guy's a wide receiver. So I'm just wondering, like, what is their grading system at the position that this is happening?
Okay, well, that's a good question. That's a good question. But, I mean, if you know that he goes and gets his guy, which he's done over the last few years, he's done it a couple times. Mm-hmm. He's done it with Kyrie Elam. He's done it with Dalton Kincaid. He's done it before. Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. If you know that he does that, and he's not willing to do it here, even to block the Kansas City Chiefs, I guess to me that tells me like he really just doesn't.
But that's
like
my
these guys.
That's my point though. Like, do the Bills have too high of a standard for what they want out of a young wide receiver?
Right.
Because
gotcha.
Like again, like Worthy had flaws. He definitely did. The weight is a real thing, and he had a couple. Like there's alligator arm problems with some of his drops, and takes plays off as maybe more of an overall Texas thing. I'm getting of the feeling now, but there were flaws with him. There are flaws with all of these guys, right? Brian Thomas with the stats in his first 3 years, and Mitchell's still on the board,
the
but there's a ton with that. The shoulder, right? You mentioned that too. Like, a lot, Leggett was older and didn't do it. If he didn't have the COVID eligibility, he wouldn't even be here. Like, there are flaws with all of these guys, but I wonder, all these other teams are getting to these guys. They're getting to the pick, and it's 3 years of this, where I just feel like do they have too high a standard? Again, I don't know. I don't know what their grading system is, but I would question, how is it that with all of these receivers, they didn't have one of them with a first-round grade? McConkie, you didn't have him higher than other people? You didn't have Franklin higher? Like, how is it that maybe Thomas was the last one? Maybe they had four. But I just, I wonder, I really wonder what their grading process is like at wide receiver.
Apparently they did not have, you know, first-round grades on these guys because they would have taken them. We heard last week Brandon Bean say that they did not have 28 first-round grades. Well, obviously that was apparent because they get the 28, they back out of that spot, and then they back entirely out of the first round. All right, let's take some phone calls here. Your reaction, 803-0550. If you are one who really is upset, angry, have angst, whatever, about the Bills trading with the Chiefs, and specifically because of Worthy and that player going to them, I'll give you the three scenarios that they could have done that would have prevented that, but it's all-encompassing with the Bills really had, these are the only ways to not let the Chiefs get them. So I'll go through that in a minute. Let's first go to Walter in Toronto. Hi, Walter.
Hey, Sal, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Excellent, excellent. I don't know if you remember a couple months ago, I called and I said, you know, we really need some speed. We got to get downfield more. We got the best arm in the league. And we all kind of agreed that that's something that the Bills have been inconsistent with in terms of downfield speed, you know. I remember even bringing up, well, we should try to get Tyreek Hill, and you guys corrected me and saying, you know, the Bills could never have made that trade or that deal. But and now here you got the fastest guy in the combine. I mean, that's incredible. Combine's what, 25 years old? I don't even know to tell you the truth. Okay, fine, he's light as a feather, but man, this guy can burn. And with Allen's arm, like when I heard that fastest combine, I don't know why the Bills just don't take a chance on this guy. The other two receivers that were picked right after him too. It's like, when you go to the plate, Sal, you try to hit a home run whether the bases are loaded or empty, you know. Anyways, guys, if you don't mind, leave me on hold because I have issues with my Odyssey app in Canada. I want to hear your response. Thanks, guys.
Okay, you got it. First of all, let me answer this the way I want to do this. First of all, Walter, why do they not take a chance? Because it's the first round and they don't just want to take a chance. I agree with you. You do take swings on guys. You'd go for the highest ceiling. So I have no problem with that. But it's not just take a chance. It's not how the draft operates. It's not, these people have jobs and careers and they do this year-long, you know, look into these prospects and analysis and interviews. They're not just going to, well, he's fast, just go take him. That's not how it works. The other thing I'll say, Walter, is yes, he is the fastest guy ever, Joe, at the history of the Combine. He's not the only fast guy in the draft, by the way.
No,
I mean, Ednai right. Mitchell ran a 4.34. He's still on the board. He's the third fastest wide receiver. Devontae Walker, 4.36. He's still on the board. Jacob Cowing, 4.38. He's still on the board. Anthony Gould, Ladd McConkey is sub 4.4. He's still on the board. Roman Wilson, just because he's not the fastest guy doesn't mean they can't improve their team's speed going forward.
Right. I hope so. Just take 33. This could all be so much more calm if we knew right now like what their plan was. We don't know though, right? Like maybe they won't take a receiver at 33. Right. But you're right. Like in terms of the speed element, Franklin, by the way, is someone where he did not run a super fast 40 at the combine. But if you watch his like the tape guys on him at Oregon, like he's a downfield threat. So he would, I think, do that too. Even though I think he was in the 4.4 somewhere. The only one that wouldn't do that is Coleman. Like, if we leave tonight and Keon Coleman is their guy,
right.
Then we'll have a real conversation, right, on our hands because they'll have their receiver, and that'll be satisfied, but then we're going to have to figure out what we want to do mentally with, well, they picked, like, the slowest receiver in the draft.
Let's go to Mo in New Jersey. Hi, Mo.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
After, you know, I mean, obviously the dream scenario is one of the top three receivers. We trade up, get one of those guys. And, you know, that was a pipe dream to say the least. When the Jaguars took Brian Thomas Jr., kind of took the, you know, the wind out of my sails for the draft because there wasn't really anybody else that I really wanted, you know, for especially in the wide receiver position. So I don't mind the trade back. You know, I hated it last night when we traded with the Chiefs. And when you listen to Bean's reasoning, you know what, if they were going to trade with somebody and somebody else would have gotten, you know, the compensation we got. So whatever it is, I mean, taking the emotion out of it because it is the Chiefs and I really hate them. You know, I guess it's okay that we were able to move that fourth into the third, you know, round pick and get some capital. But here's my thing with everything, right? Obviously, this regime does not value wide receivers that highly. And for whatever reason, you know, we haven't, you know, we spent the, you know, the first round pick that we traded away for Diggs. But beyond that, like, we just do not spend draft picks on wide receivers. And it blows my mind because we have this window with Josh Allen. And if he's not going anywhere for the next at least 5, 6, 7 years minimum, we need to surround him with players that can make plays. And we are just wasting our opportunities away. Now, it's to be seen what we do with this pick tonight. You know, if we turn this pick into Brandon Ayuk somehow, I would love it, right? I would love to trade for a number one like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, as if we stay pat, like we don't trade this pick away, you know, we're going to get a guy like Adonai Mitchell or McConkey, you know, both are, you know, guys that are going to be fine. But are they true number ones? I don't know. I could be sold more easily on DeGene, you know, on defense than taking the sixth mm-hmm. or seventh best wide receiver at this point. But that's just me.
If I'm trying to talk myself into, though, like the number one, like I don't think any of these guys are likely to become number one receivers, but someone that gets drafted tonight will. Like, that's for sure. There's going to be a lot of receivers taken tonight, and someone's going to do it. I mean, I think it was one of the Buffalo Beat guys, I'll figure out who, tweeted out the list of second-round receivers in the last, like, 5 years, and there are some studs on there. A.J. Brown just became the highest-paid receiver in football yesterday, and he was a second-round pick. So it can work.
T. Higgins was a second-round pick.
T. Higgins. He was the first pick of round two.
That's right. He's the Bills are picking tonight.
Yeah, right. And right. Debo was a second-round pick, and he might be available mm-hmm. for trade, and he's been great for a while, so it can happen. It's why I like the double dip idea and why I'm really on edge about what they do at 33. Because I told you yesterday, Sal, or even before that, that the one outcome, the one scenario where I really like trading down is if you're going to trade down, get into the third round, and double dip at the position. And if they came out of tonight if they liked McConkey enough and picked him at 33, and then Franklin or Polk or Baker was around at 60, and they came out of tonight with two receivers. It doesn't even have to be the second round. A second and third, too. Like, I'm good with that. Because at that point, what I've then done is, sure, you might have two guys. Neither's that likely to become a number one. But now what are my odds if one of the two doing it? Like, my percentage right. odds are going up if I
taking
have two guys.
Taking more swings, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Taking more swings, throwing more darts, you know, at the board. Real quickly here, this is what Brandon Bean had to say when he was asked specifically about any hesitation of trading with Kansas City and why he didn't and why he didn't have any and did trade with the Chiefs.
We could have traded with someone else and they take somebody. Like, we had other opportunities. I would say that was the best deal for us. Take the team out of it. That was the best deal that we thought fit what we wanted to do. And the way you have to look at it, I mean, we talk to teams in our division. You know what I'm saying? It's really, to me, what's the best deal for the Bills? If we don't do a deal, in this case with Kansas City, they can go do a deal with the next team.
That's right. So when he says that, here's how it lays out for you, everybody, okay? You could be upset that they did a deal with the Kansas City and even more upset that Kansas City gets worthy because of it. That's fine. I understand that. But from Brandon Bean's perspective, at least, what he's saying there is, okay, then there's only three ways then they could go if you don't want that to happen. Number one, the Bills could just take worthy. But then you're taking a guy you don't think is worthy of that selection. That he's, you're just going to do it just to block your opponent, not even to make your team, you know, to do it because you want to do it. Do it because you don't want them to have him. He doesn't even fit that value, yet you do it. Number two, trade with another team. Hope they take somebody else, but you never know. Teams aren't telling you who they're trading for. And number three, use your pick on another player, DeGene, whoever it is, Leggett, and let the board fall where it goes and see what Kansas City gets. Those are the three options if you didn't want the Bills to trade with Kansas City and have them take worthy. Because as Brandon Bean lays out there, the only true way to block them from doing it is taking worthy yourself. The Bills weren't going to take worthy. He just told you there that they didn't value him as highly. So the Chiefs wind up with him. Josh Reed, Channel 4 is going to join us. Stick on hold if you're there. We won't keep Josh too long. We'll get back to your phone calls as soon as we can. Want to hear from you today. We'll take Josh next, and then we're going to get to Eric Wood, 1105, your phone calls as well today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Mm-hmm. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. The Bills on the clock tonight with the first pick of the second round. They did not make a pick last night in the first round. Josh, are we good? We have Josh Reed on the line. I think we do, right? We can go to him right now. Oh, there we go. I think we do. Yep, we can do that now, and we'll go to the Western Hotline where our buddy Josh Reed, WIVB-TV, joins us. Josh, it's Joe and Sal. I know it was a late night last night, so I appreciate you jumping on right now. But in totality, what do you kind of make of the Bills, A, trading with the Kansas City Chiefs, and then ultimately trading out of the first round?
Yeah, that is something that after a few short hours of sleep, I woke up to and thought, started going over kind of some things that recapping what all went down. And it was a lot, yet nothing at all, because they still don't have a player to show for it. I mean, I keep coming back to this. Brandon Bean felt like the Kansas City Chiefs were getting Xavier Worthy no matter what. I'm sure that he did his due diligence and, you know, probably talked to the teams behind them, between them and the Chiefs, and knew that the Chiefs were going to come up to get Xavier Worthy no matter what. And why not be the one that gets paid? And obviously they didn't have a first-round grade on Xavier Worthy. I understand why Bills fans are, you know, just, you know, rubbing their heads still, scratching their heads still this morning, wondering how you could ever do a trade with the Chiefs. But look, the Yankees and Red Sox can make trades. Guess what? I hate to tell you. The Bills and the Chiefs can make trades. I just kind of put it in a vacuum because they trade down from 28 to 32 and now to 33. I think a big part of this puzzle is still to be determined, because now they're sitting at 33 and they may still end up with one of the several players that people would have been absolutely fine with them getting at 28.
Yeah, 33 tonight the Bills started off with. Were you satisfied with the explanation from Brandon Bean about, hey, why did you do this? Fans are a little, you know, have a lot of angst about Kansas City. Specifically, why he kind of didn't care that it's Kansas City. It's, hey, we can't block him from taking Worthy if we're not going to take him, and this was the best deal for us.
Yeah, I was perfectly fine with his explanation. Look, everybody champions Brandon Bean for, you know, making these bold moves to trade up, right? Well, this was a bold move. This is kind of what got the Bills to where they are right now, right? Taking Josh Allen when most people thought that's a terrible decision. Well, turns out it ended up being just fine. You know, this is what he's done. He has kind of gone against the grain several different times. You know, don't forget, the Dalton Kincaid draft pick, you know, just a short time ago, wasn't exactly, you know, accepted, widely accepted by everyone when it was made. why would they trade up to take a tight end there? And, you know, is he a receiver? Is he a tight end? You know the conversation that happened. And I was fine. I was fine with the explanation. And it's like, to go back again, I get it. It's the Chiefs. They're the Super Bowl champs. I still come back to they were getting worthy no matter what. So if you can come away with something that you want, then I'm good with it.
Were you thinking they got good value for the move down?
I do. I do. They really valued, you know, getting into the third round. And I get it. They didn't add, quote unquote, add a pick. They slid up, a lot of spots. Yeah, to get back in the third round, that obviously was something that Brandon really wanted to do. I was fine with it, especially if they're looking, if Brandon and his staff are looking at that draft board, and he said it after, that they had more second-round grades than first-round grades coming into the draft. So, my guess, he didn't say as much, my guess is they had four first-round grades on receivers, right? The big three and then Brian Thomas Jr. I would project that they had him as the first-round grade. Obviously, they didn't with Xavier Worthy or the rest of the guys. They would have took him there at 28.
Yeah.
So, maybe they have a half a dozen second-round grades on these receivers that are all kind of guys that they feel the same about. Well, if they pull the trigger on at 33 on one of those receivers that they valued as much or maybe even more than Xavier Worthy, then that's a huge win for Brandon Bean today for him inside that room. Now, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, actually, we have no idea where Worthy is on their board. Worthy could be, below guys they even have today they could take, right? When we don't know
he could have been receiver
what that looks like.
He could have been receiver 10 on their board, and they could be poised to pick receiver 6 on their board, 5 on their board. You know what I mean? They could be sitting there going, okay, we slid into the third round. We gave Kansas City the guy that we valued, the Bills valued at 10 as far as receiver rankings go. They may be sitting there going, that's fine. We'll slide into the third round, and we'll take the guy that we valued 4 slots ahead of him.
Okay, so I have no problem with trading with Kansas City. And, if that's not where you want to take certain guys, you get better value, that's fine. The issue I have going into tonight is, no matter what happens in the next 2 days, unless they trade for somebody on an existing team, they still have no number one wide receiver. Now, the only way that you would have gotten into it anyway would have been one of the top three, and maybe Brian Thomas Jr., you could argue, but after that, even Worthy's not going to be a number one wide receiver, so it was a long shot anyway. But Josh, to me, it's still a glaring hole in this roster.
Oh, very, very much so. There's no doubt. I mean, look, if they come away with, you name them, A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, but to your point, really, there are probably 4 guys, in my opinion, in this draft, a wide receiver that step in day one and are the number one receiver on the team. I could probably get myself there pretty easily for Xavier Leggett. I really liked him. Kind of disappointed that they didn't pull the trigger there at 32 with him because I thought, wow, that'd be good. But then, man, with the Xavier Leggett versus Xavier Worthy,
that would have been a great thing. Yeah.
Could you imagine that? The comparisons. So, I'm with you. Look, Sal, Joe, I am not convinced that. I said it on the Buffalo Kickoff Live pre-draft show, and I tweeted it. So there's a receipt several hours before the draft started. That I thought the Bills would end up with pick 33 and trading out of the first round, and they'd end up with Carolina's pick. Now, they got there in a way that I didn't imagine, but they're there. And I also thought that there was a chance that they could then send that pick for Brandon Ayuk. Now, we're not there yet, but we're a step closer than we were yesterday, 24 hours ago. Now, they add Brandon Ayuk. Look, it doesn't even need to be pick 33. They're sitting there with a couple of second-rounders next year. That's some pretty good trade assets. If you could flip, I don't know if it would take both of them to get Ayuk, all of a sudden sitting there with Brandon Ayuk coming out of this draft and maybe still the 33rd pick in 60. You know, they could still double down on receivers. I think that Brandon Bean got past those first four receivers and thought, I'm better off having more darts to throw at the dartboard than just one.
Is that to sound like if they did make an Ayuk trade or something along those lines tonight, that between the three picks they have, that they could come away with two receivers?
I think that would be the ideal scenario. I mean, there are just so many. We talk about it a lot, right? The grouping after those top three, and what were there, half dozen, maybe even you get to eight. You know, when you start to throw in Franklin and Keon Coleman, I think the value guy in this from the beginning has been Jalen Polk. I really like him out of Washington. Liked him from day one. Mm-hmm. When I went to the combine in Indianapolis, had a chance to talk to him, had a chance to really kind of watch what he does and read up on his strengths and stuff. I think he has a chance to be really good. He's not going to walk in and be wide receiver one. But I keep circling back to this. This is why you have Josh Allen. He's an elite quarterback. It's Josh Allen's job to make whoever they pick better. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be able to turn a guy who just can't play into wide receiver one, but that's the job. You take guys who are, quote-unquote, a B grade, and you make them an A because you're elite. You're an elite quarterback. So, you know, a lot of that's on him and, quite frankly, Joe Brady. You know, you got to figure out the way to make these guys fit and make them good.
Josh, we just had a call right before you came on. I'm going to tell you what the call said because I know you and I have talked about this, and I just want you to comment. The call came in and said they're wasting Josh Allen's prime. Josh Reed, go ahead.
Oh, please. Hey, go back. Go back and look and see how long it took Peyton Manning to get a Super Bowl. And at that point, I guess they were just wasting Peyton Manning. And here's my thing. If we're going to compare apples to apples, and okay, so is the standard winning a Super Bowl the wasted? Is that what we're assuming is the, you know, a career is quote unquote wasted if they don't win a Super Bowl? Because if that's the case, then we got to re-examine Jim Kelly's career. Because the last time I checked, he didn't have a Super Bowl ring. And I don't think anybody thinks his career was wasted. So I think everybody just needs to pump the brakes on wasting the career of Josh Allen. I hate it. And there are very few topics that really – I hate you for
That's
this.
That's why time. I asked you.
You've got my blood boiling, and I'm only on my third cup of coffee. Oh, why'd you do this to me? My parental leave is 6 weeks. I'm in a very zen-like place, and you did this to me. But look, I hate that. I hate they're wasting Josh Allen's career. Then what is wasted? Do they have to get to the AFC Championship game, win it four times, and lose four Super Bowls for it to be a success? Like, I don't get it. If they get to one Super Bowl and win it, then it wasn't wasted. Like, where's the moving target on his careers being wasted? Because I bang my head against the wall when I hear that, because absolutely no one in their right mind would ever say Jim Kelly's career was wasted. He didn't have a Super Bowl.
Dan Marino. Dan Fouts.
I get it. I get the frustration of wanting to get there, get to the Super Bowl and win this. I get it. I understand it. But holy smokes, the knee-jerk reaction sometimes just – I got to do some breathing exercises when I get off the phone with you.
All right. Listen, that gives you time. Tonight, obviously more coverage on your station, Channel 4, WIVB, as well as obviously we'll carry it here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Then tomorrow we're going to join each other, right? I'm going to be with you. Tell everybody what we got going on tomorrow.
Yeah, we got Buffalo Kickoff Live draft recap show, which at some point we're going to have players to talk about. Didn't happen day one. But at some point, we're going to have guys to actually discuss. That's coming up Sunday night, 10:30 on WNLO, and then 11:30 on Channel 4. So, yeah, that's always fun, getting the crew together to kind of break down what we saw the Bills do and didn't do, and, you know, just kind of break it all down. And, yeah, looking forward to that as always. And then we'll be live back over there at the facility starting at 4 o'clock. We'll be in the 4 o'clock news, 5 o'clock news, 6 o'clock, all of them. And, you know, there's a billion newscasts a day, and we'll be in all of them.
I'll see you down there tonight. Go do some yoga, buddy.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate you. Good talking to you guys.
All right, you too. Josh Reed, WIVB TV, Channel 4. I knew that. He hates that. He hates that wasting Josh Allen's career stuff when it comes up. And that was hilarious that someone called right before he came out. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will get to Eric Wood at the top of the hour. A couple of your phone calls on the way as well here on the Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on draft day number 2.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, was hoping to grab a couple calls here. We can't right now. I apologize if you're on hold. We do want to get to them today, so stick with us. We got Eric Wood coming up after the break, but we got to hit another timeout, and we will come back here and continue the reaction to the day one Bills non-draft and day two draft coming up tonight. Pick number 33 tonight when the draft starts at 7 o'clock. Of course, we'll have that right here for you on WGR Sports Radio 550. It's a Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. We roll along with another hour of your phone calls. And Eric Wood, former Bills center, current color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, up next here on WGR.
People were saying we were trying aggressively to make a move into the top 10. Like, no team ever called me saying, hey, we want to move back there and anything like that. And I'm not calling up there, you know, a day ahead or whatever. That was all just smoke. Listen, you know me. If there was certain players that fell, we would have gone up. I did not want to give up our 2, though. It would have had to just been something that just made way too much sense for me to give up that 2, because it would have been really hard for us from the 4s to get up that far. It's just the value of those picks start dropping dramatically.
Bills general manager Brandon Bean, late last night, early morning hours, explaining about the trade he made with the Kansas City Chiefs, the trade he made with the Carolina Panthers. The Bills go from 28 to 32 and then out of the first round completely. They now start off tonight's draft in the first round. We're going to talk about that and move it forward here in a little while. We're going to have Eric Wood just a moment. Let me reset tonight, though. Okay, here we go, Joe. Here's what they have. Round 2, round 3, round 4, round 5, round 5, round 5, round 5, round 6, round 7. Tonight, 3 picks, 2 twos and a 3. Tomorrow, a 4. 4 fives, a 6, and a 7. Out of the 10 picks they have, how many do they take? Like, how many picks are they actually making in this draft?
They will make, I'd set the over under at like 7.5.
Same thing Bulldog did, 7.5. I agree with you guys. I think that's a great number. I can't see 10, but you never know. I mean, this is a roster that is in transition. They've talked about getting, you know, players a little cheaper, a little bit younger. They may do that, but I can't see 10. We'll see about that. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. Thanks for hanging with us. Let's get to the Wester Hotline right now. Our guy Eric Wood is standing by. Eric, of course, former Buffalo Bills center, current color analyst on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. All right, buddy. Well, thanks a lot for joining us this morning. You're watching the draft like everybody else last night. What's going through your mind when you see on the screen or on social media that the Bills trade out of 28, and then what went through your mind when you saw it was the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have just a little bit of, you know, a little bit of bad memories. And when you look back at the Mahomes trade and what that became, and then obviously when the Chiefs jumped the Bills and took Legarius Sneed and the success that he's had, then you just – give them a lot of credit in these situations, then you assume, oh, gosh, this is going to be bad for the Bills. They're going to get up. They're going to take a guy that's going to make the Bills pay in the future, but you never know how all this is going to shake out. And to me, you know, the further I get removed from 15 years ago when I was drafted by the Bills, the more I realized that, you know, you got to trust your GM. And, you know, the Bills have one of the best GMs, one of the best front offices in the NFL. They're constantly having guys within their front office get poached by other regimes, whether that's for a head GM job or an assistant GM job, and lots of promotions coming out of this Bills front office. So you have to truly trust them. You have to trust that, you know, the Bills have built a successful organization over these last 7 years, and they spend all year. And yes, we spend a lot of time. I say we as media members now, and we as a fan base, one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL, we pay a lot of attention to the draft. We're kind of all consumed by the NFL all year long, and you have to trust that Brandon Bean and his team have a plan. They stuck to it, and whether it was guys maybe not falling to them or they simply knew that the capital to move up for maybe one of the guys that they identified as a first-round grade, which we heard being talked about last night, they didn't have 32. They didn't have 28 first-round grades. And so they were willing to move back to gain more capital. But it wouldn't surprise me to see Brandon being very aggressive and, you know, watching his press conference and listening to him last night, it would not surprise me to see him be very aggressive here on day two to add some guys that can be impact starters from day one.
They obviously didn't have a first-round grade on Xavier Worthy, or at least the 28-pick grade. They allow Kansas City, put in quotes, to draft him, and that's been a bit of the angst today, right, as you pointed out. The only way to truly block them, Eric, would have been to draft him yourself. As Bean points out last night, once they don't take Worthy, the Chiefs are going to get him probably. They're going to trade up to 29 or 30 or 31. But what would be your kind of philosophy on that's the team you're trying to chase? It's a rival. If we trade with them, they're going to get better. Like, because Brandon Bean didn't seem to care about that and said, we just got to do what's best for the Buffalo Bills.
Right. And yes, everybody in the NFL right now is chasing the Kansas City Chiefs. It's like when I was in the NFL and everyone was chasing the Patriots. Everyone's trying to build a roster right now to beat the Chiefs. You're also always trying to build a roster to win your division first and get into the dance and host home playoff games. But you can't take a guy like Xavier Worthy. If, you know, they spent a lot of time studying him in particular, knowing that that's probably one of the guys that's going to fall to that 28th pick. They spent a lot of time. They were comfortable letting him go to the Chiefs. If it pans out and he has a great career for the Chiefs, so be it. But you have to stick to your guns and not say, just because we know the Chiefs like this guy, that doesn't mean necessarily that we love this guy. And people get enamored with speed and, you know, what they saw Tyreek Hill do in Kansas City. But there's been a lot of guys that have run very fast 40 times at the NFL Combine that have not worked out. Now, can Andy Reid turn this kid into a superstar? Maybe. But the Buffalo Bills did not feel like at 28, Xavier Worthy coming into the organization was going to make the impact that they needed to invest that 28th pick and not get the extra draft capital. And so, you know, to me, yes, and I put it on Twitter yesterday that to me, if the Bills are going to stick at 28, Worthy is one of the guys that is appealing to me. Now, one of the guys that I also put was Ladd McConkey, who is still on the board. Mm-hmm. And there's still a lot of quality players that are still on the board. And so, no, I don't think you can make a decision. You can't use a first-round draft pick simply to block your AFC rival, you know, the defending Super Bowl champion, from getting said player.
Is what they did, both that this trade down we're talking about and then at 32, make you think receiver is any more or less likely at 33?
I mean, I think it's likely that one of these next two picks is going to be a receiver, and whether that's at 33, potentially moving back from there again. If they say, you know, if they got three guys that they kind of like about the same that are still on the board, whether that's Mitchell, whether that's McConkey, whoever that may be, for Franklin, if you got those three guys and you kind of rank them the same, do you move back again to get even more of this kind of day two draft capital? And you know, I've heard it said a lot this offseason, and you could kind of hear it from Brandon Bean, that they think there are a lot of starters available in these first 2 days of the draft. They just didn't necessarily feel like they had 28 first-round grades on guys. So I think there's going to be a move for a receiver. I mean, you know, I had Sean McDermott on my Center Not Buffalo podcast yesterday. We recorded yesterday morning, and, you know, I asked him about the Bills, the Diggs trade, and as you expect from Sean, he's very confident in the group that they already have. But realistically, we can say it. Maybe Sean can't, but we can have this conversation now that, yes, the Bills are going to need to add pieces in that room, and I think we see that happen tonight.
Eric, they come out of this draft, though, even if they take guys. Like, I really like Ladd McConkey. I agree with you. Take him. I like Javon Baker a lot. No matter what they do tonight, they're going to come out of this draft. They're still not going to have a number one wide receiver for 2024, at least. Maybe one of these guys develops in 2025. Is that a concern for you? And do you think they should shop around to look for one on an existing team?
Yeah, I would not be against them going out and looking. I would just be cautious of what that price is going to be, what it's going to do to the cap. You know, does it mess with your future success if you go after an Ayuk? I don't know if you can go get a Higgins from Cincinnati. I don't know that they would make that deal with the Bills, but you never know, because they're likely on just kind of a one-year deal with him if they can add draft capital down the road from the Bills to get Higgins over to the Bills. That would not surprise me. It doesn't scare me fully, just because of the success that we saw at the end of the season last year without Diggs truly putting up number one numbers, not even close to number one numbers, as they got hot in that five-game win streak to end the regular season and then making it to the divisional round, the playoffs, and coming close to beating the Chiefs in Orchard Park and going on to the AFC Championship game. So it's not a huge concern for me. I think you're always looking for weapons around him. You know, you see the Kansas City model over the last couple of years where Travis Kelce becomes essentially your number one, and then you have guys that play roles around him. I think you can have success doing that. But yes, I do feel that there's a need for another weapon. Does it at the receiver position? Does it truly have to be one of the guys who you say, hey, this is our number one receiver? I don't necessarily think that's a necessity for this upcoming year, but there does need to be some extra talent added to that room.
How much does the style is that important to you, in that they have, I mean, there's some crossover, right, between where Samuel plays and Shakir and Kincaid. It's a lot of middle of the field and shorter stuff. Is whoever they pick, this weapon that we're talking about, being someone that can stretch the field and primarily, I would think, do it from the outside?
Yeah, I think there is a need for that in some capacity, whether it's tonight in the draft, bringing someone in. Someone's going to have to prove that they can stretch the field. I think back to, this might not be a great example, but when you talk about field stretchers, when Kyle Orton took over for E.J. Manuel and Doug Marone was with the Bills, Marquise Goodwin, I don't even know if he was active for all of our games at that point. It especially didn't play a serious role. And when Kyle Orton took over, he said, give me Marquise Goodwin on the field, and I want him playing X amount of snaps. And even if I don't throw him the ball down the field, I want him in these certain packages and these certain route structures simply to run down the sideline, because they have to respect his speed on the outside. That's going to manipulate safeties. That's going to manipulate how they can play defense. Because of that, that's going to open up zones. That's going to open up different areas and what I want to do within the structure of the offense. And so, you know, I think back to that time, and, you know, that was a kind of a clear-cut moment for me from a veteran quarterback stepping in. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that Kyle Orton's Tom Brady or Josh Allen or whoever else, but there is value in having a guy that you say, okay, we can only run certain defenses. We have to have our safeties in certain positions if this guy is in this position. And I think there's tremendous value in that. And I say all that, I don't know that that's worthy last night. Yes, he could take the top off the defense because of his speed, but I haven't seen him make a ton of plays down the field at Texas. For me, a lot of what was appealing was, you know, some of the underneath stuff that using that speed, he could take it to the house.
Eric, there's a lot of fans who still think that this team should look at Jackson Powers Johnson, center from Oregon. And because they moved on from Mitch Morse. I have people tweeting me today, like, well, they still got to find a replacement. I think someone actually tweeted me and you that about that. My answer is, well, what we know, their replacement is Connor McGovern. That's what we have been told, and the Bills are talking very much that Connor McGovern is going to be the starting center. David Edwards is starting left guard. They went out, they get Lael Collins to be a depth piece. I mean, how do you assess it? I don't think they should. I don't think they need to go out and get a center. I think it feels like they're comfortable with what they have. You're closer. You know Aaron Cromer, what he's done with the group, how they feel about him. How do you assess it all?
Yeah, I think they're in pretty good shape right now with McGovern. And then I'll say this, and I heard it all through the preseason last year, is how much they like Alec Anderson as well,
yep,
who can also play the center position. And he might be one of those guys that they're developing quietly who can step into that center position. I don't think it's a need tonight. Now, if he's a guy that you think can come in and be an 8 to 10 year starter, you know, that guy that's going to solidify that center position, and then you could potentially move or keep McGovern at guard, you could do that. And look, like I mentioned earlier, I trust Brandon Bean that they've done their due diligence. I haven't studied his film to say, hey, this is going to be the next guy that's going to step in and be your long-term answer at center. Are those guys worthy of a second round grade or a second round draft pick? Of course. But right now, as I see it, I think there's bigger needs on this team. I think you can get younger on the defensive side of the ball. There's positions that you could address, whether it's in the secondary, whether it's at defensive tackle or on the edge as a pass rusher. And then, of course, at the receiver position and just adding weapons around Josh, that would be more appealing to me at this point.
Would you rule out running back for them tonight? You think that's on the table?
I think it could be, but I think it would have to be a guy that could be more than just a true running back, because you have such great value in James Cook being young, what he proved he could do last year. You have Ty Johnson in that thumper role as well. So if you have a guy that can do some things out of the backfield as well, who could be dynamic in the pass game, it would surprise me to see them take, especially in the second round, a running back. But you never know in these situations.
Eric, what the hell is going on in your hometown of Cincinnati? Trey Hendrickson now wants out. You got T. Higgins' situation. They do draft an offensive tackle, Mims. I mean, what's going on over there? Is it as simple as, hey, this is an organization that we know has traditionally not been with the, you know, widest pocketbooks, and here we go, they had to pay the quarterback, so now other guys are going to get squeezed?
Yeah, some guys are getting squeezed, and it's interesting because Hendrickson, you know, I thought that forever, you know, I grew up a Bengals fan, and people ask me all the time, are you still a Bengals fan? And I'm like, no, I'm not a Bengals fan. I got drafted by the Bills, and I work for the Bills, and the better the Bengals do, it's generally not good for the Bills. So no, I am no longer a Bengals fan, but growing up, it was always amazing. A lot of times they're free agents, you know, they'd go swipe the guy that was a bust first rounder, but the guy who the other teams didn't want to re-sign. I thought Hendrickson was a great signing when they brought him in from New Orleans. In that same offseason, they brought in Reeder, they drafted Hubbard, and man, they put together a pretty good defensive line. But with the impact that Hendrickson has had over this kind of successful run over these last two or three years, you know, he's going to want to be paid like these top guys in the NFL, or the top guys at his position. And when you got Burrow, when you got Chase, Higgins is going to have to walk, and you have some star power there. Yeah, they are going to get squeezed. And the Brown family, as you mentioned, has not always been open to the, you know, convert to signing bonus where you can grab a little bit of cap money, cap room, but you're going to be, you know, the Pegulas are very willing to go spend as much money as possible to keep talent around, to let Brandon Bean have flexibility. That always has not been the case in Cincinnati, and I think you're starting to see it again.
Do you think the Bills should investigate in T. Higgins?
I think he would fit in very nicely. If they can bring him in, I mean, if you can add a 6'5" guy to that receiver group, he has the ability to stretch the field. I love the way he makes contested catches. I mean, you know, he's one of those guys where he's covered, but he's not based upon his length. He boxes out corners very well. I think he could be a great addition if the Bills could get him. I don't know how realistic. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes you get – maybe I'm putting more stock into this than is truly out there, where the Bengals aren't sitting there saying, hey, we're not going to deal them to the Bills because they're in the AFC and they're competing with us for a championship each year. And when you look around the quarterback landscape of the AFC, it's likely going to be, you know, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Buffalo, Houston now, Baltimore. Those are probably your five at the top for a while. Would they be willing to deal them to the Bills? I'm not quite sure about that.
Finally, Eric, I know that over the years you've been in Buffalo, you've gone to plenty of Sabres games. They rehire Lindy Ruff, the guy who was the coach when you got drafted to the Buffalo Bills. He was here for the first 3 years of your NFL career. Did you go to games back then? Did you ever get to know Lindy? Anything like that? What do you remember about that?
So 2009, when I broke my leg my rookie year, that period of time where I was rehabbing in Buffalo turned me into a big-time hockey fan. I had gotten to know a number of guys on the team prior to getting injured, and then when I got hurt, I had plenty of time to go to as many Sabres games as I'd like to, and the Bills had a suite, and so I would go to a bunch of Sabres games, and I would connect with Lindy at charity golf scrambles and whatnot, and always really enjoyed spending time with him. I'm excited to have him back, and I'm really hoping it works out for him because, to me, I just have a tremendous amount of respect for him. I'm actually going to go to my first playoff hockey game ever this weekend. I'm going down to Nashville on Sunday for a charity golf scramble on Monday, so I'm going to go to a Predators playoff game. But I've never been to, so I've been to plenty of regular season hockey games. I have watched playoff hockey on TV, which is one of the most fun sports, especially playoff time, to watch on TV. So I'm excited to take it in this weekend in person.
That's cool. Joe, that's cool. He's going to Nashville for a playoff game.
I always see the videos of the guys at the Predators game where they put them on the Jumbotron and they have them like chugging a beer. I don't think I'll get that treatment this week.
Was it Taylor Lewan? Someone like drank a beer out of a catfish. I'm pretty sure. Like that happened.
Yeah, they had like the Tennessee Titans O-line there. They all had their shirts off. They had the fish and all that. I've heard Predators games are a ton of fun in general, but the fact that I get to go to the playoff game this weekend should be a lot of fun.
Kentucky Derby next weekend, right?
Kentucky Derby next weekend, wow. Yeah. So we have
150 weeks.
Yeah, we have a big few weeks in Louisville. So we have Kentucky Derby next weekend. 2 weeks later, we have the PGA Championship out of Valhalla. So I'll be hosting people for that as well. So, yeah, we got a busy few weeks coming up here.
Listen, I know you love where you live. I know you love Buffalo, too. But let's be honest. When your kids are out of the house, you and Leslie return to Nashville, aren't you? You love that city.
I do like Nashville. To me, though, it's not a climate change. Like, you know, right. You're driving 2 hours and 15, 2 hours and 30 minutes south. Like, I'm going to Florida. And I'm ready to get there. I already spent enough time down there in the winters now, so it works out. But, yeah, I would want more of a climate change.
I'm heading to Florida next weekend to play a little golf myself. What do you got going on Centered in Buffalo podcast or anything else you're doing?
Yeah, so Centered on Buffalo podcast, we'll try and get you, maybe me and you could chop it up again next week and break down the draft a little bit. We've had some serious star power on there. Let me give you a little prop, Sal. We've had some serious star power this offseason. We've had Brandon Bean. We've had Sean McDermott. We've had Aaron Cromer, Shakir. Just had Poyer on recently. And your episode on YouTube, besides, I think, Brandon Bean, which was right after the season and people were really intrigued to see what he had to say, I think you were the top YouTube viewership.
Yeah, baby.
So I got to give credit where credit's due.
Wow.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. And that's Centered on Buffalo. You got YouTube. You got it on audio and anywhere anybody can find it. Listen, man, thank you so much. I appreciate you doing this today. We'll hook up soon. Have fun at the Derby next week. We can't wait to hear all about it.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right. You got it. Eric Wood right there. All right. Let's real quickly try to get to Jim in Rochester here. Jim, go ahead. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hi, guys. I'm of the opinion, I guess now along with Eric, that Bean's done the right thing. I was thinking the same thing once Thomas went off the board to Jacksonville. I'm pretty sure that was his last first-round receiver. And then he's like, you knew how upset he was when he lost that third round compensatory. He really wanted the third. Kansas City gave him the third, which now gives him the opportunity to package 95 and 60 to go up after they take Mitchell at 33, which is a 4-3-4-6-3 dude. To me, he's probably at a, people seem to be concerned about this number one tag. He's got number one written all over him. He doesn't drop the ball. He's got the low 4-3. He's the third fastest. So I'll take the third fastest, who's 6'2", 210, versus 5'10", 165, or whatever Worthy is. And he'll probably get blowed up in the preseason and not even play half the games. But anyway, but I think he's going to package those two, take Mitchell, and then package the two to come up and get hopefully maybe high 30s. I don't know what the trade tracker thing says there about what giving him 60, somebody 60 and 95 would do, how high we could get up, but maybe we'd end up with Mitchell and McConkey and everybody can relax.
Oh, man, they get Mitchell and McConkey. Yeah, thanks, Jim. That would be you go into the draft, Joe. If you went into the draft and someone said they're going to come out with A.D. Mitchell and Ladd McConkey, I think you'd be pretty happy.
I think everybody would sign up for that. I, going into tonight, though, I am not thinking they're taking A.D. Mitchell. I don't know. I just, maybe.
Me too. I feel like that's not the case.
But I wonder about if red flags push him down further than we think. Like, this happened a couple years ago with George Pickens, where Pickens had a lot of hype coming into the draft, but there was some stuff, right, with him and, you know, attitude stuff from his time at Georgia, and he did fall a bit, right? Like, he was one of those last receivers that went in that run in the second round. He went after guys like Tyquan Thornton and Wendell Robinson. Fell into the 50s, I think. So, if Mitchell has... But he... Same thing. He was a great athlete, you know, like, star-level catches. And Mitchell... Like, if I wonder if we get a similar type of fall for him where, okay, he's available now in the middle of the second round. Did the Bills, do they have him off his board, or do they knock a guy for some of that other stuff? I don't know that you have to take a guy off completely, so we'll see. Like, I wonder if that gets tested. And then, I like McConkey, too. The guy, though, I just saw Benjamin Albright tweeting about this, and I think this was out there, I just maybe forgot it. Troy Franklin from Oregon. Joe Brady recruited Franklin in high school. I think he said that at the Combine, if I'm remembering right, but I had forgotten about this. And Franklin is like the big stats guy, plays the X, which the Bills have a need at receiver, that spot where you're up against the line, press coverage. He's a downfield threat, and he's not small like Worthy either. I mean, he ran a slower 40 than people thought, but we have Brandon Bean on record, and we mention it a lot, that he has said that he doesn't mind if a guy runs a slower 40, because sometimes that could push him down into their area.
Butch, I didn't mean to make you wait so long. You're just the last guy in the queue, but I'm interested in what you have to say. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for so much. I'll be real quick. First of all, I just wanted to say I applaud Brandon Bean and his staff for what they're doing. You know, when I watch the NFL draft all these years, I just don't focus on one position. I focus on all the talent. And in Buffalo, like you just said, Sal, earlier, and along with Eric, because I got to say something about what Eric said as well, is that we have to replenish this roster with a lot of players we lost. We have to replenish this roster with youth, because this is going to be the first year, really, that Sean McDermott is actually going to have to play his rookies and his first-year players and his second-year players. So at the same time, when it's chessboard moving forward, I'm not going to sit here and just keep talking wide receiver. I want to look at all of this good talent that's still out there in out of all the positions in the draft. Now, I'm saying that is, when I look at this at the 33 selection coming up, I really want Buffalo, and I don't know, maybe these two teams may have called Washington and Carolina. I look at Washington's 36 and 40 selection in the second round, and maybe if they want to move up, maybe Buffalo could get both of those positions along with, you know, let them have the 33 pick, moving back a little bit, but at the same time, staying in the window bracket of maybe getting two good quality players without somebody sliding in and beating you to it. At the same time, that's where I brought Carolina up. That 39 selection that you look at, they have in the second round, they got from Chicago. At the same time, maybe
Brandon Bean can maybe move 60, give him 60, we take the 39, and maybe throw a fifth round next year or something else to them, or a fifth round, sorry, this year to them to move back. They keep that bracket. Just like when people play deal or no deal, they talk about you in that bracket, you keep that bracket, and we can get some good quality players. There's some good players out here, man. And I'm letting you know, and I'm letting you go on this, though. So you even said the same thing. You said that Brandon Bean said in his office after talking to Joe Brady, we don't need a number one. And one thing about Brandon Bean, and you know this more than anybody, he's a straight shooter. He tells you like he's a great guy. He knows what he's doing. And I say that. Now, last but not least, on Eric Wood, Eric, I understand what you said about when he asked you about Jackson Powers Johnson at center. I understand how you feel that you're saying we're kind of quality good at that position. But I remember back in 2009, my friend, I remember Buffalo went to Louisville and got you in the second round. So I'm going to say we can have a duplicate because JPJ is a good Eric Wood, a good Marvin Webster. Thank you so much, guys.
Hey, don't disrespect E. Wood as a first rounder there, but he was a first rounder.
First rounder? I thought he was.
That's right.
E. I'm sorry, E. Back me up.
You know what? And ironically, Butch, ironically, he was picked number 28, Eric Wood.
So, you know what? That's crazy. I'm sorry, Eric. When you see me, Eric, you can push me. You give me a push. But I love you guys, and thank you, man, for taking my call.
All right, you got it, Butch. Hope all is well with you, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. All right, Joe, let's do it. Let's talk about tonight. Set up your little big board or your big board there. Not your little big board. It's, I guess, a littler big board now. Let's run through, like, the best scenarios for you tonight. What you like, what you don't like. We'll do that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
This is a confounding move by the Buffalo Bills. How do you trade with a team that you cannot get past in the most important games of the year in the playoffs, and you give them the wide receiver they so desperately want, and your team, as you indicated, has lost multiple starting wide receivers. In fact, last year, Buffalo had five different wide receivers with 20 plus targets. Four of the five are no longer with the team. On top of that, they traded Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis left via free agency. Only Khalil Shakir is the one who remains.
That's Warren Sharp. Does a lot of really sharp football analysis. No pun intended, that's what it's actually called. He didn't like the move for the Buffalo Bills. A lot of fans didn't like the move for the Buffalo Bills, but I think Brandon Bean used solid reasoning and logic in explaining. And again, when I hear something like that, just to circle back everything from last night and to bring it back to where we started today. When I hear something like that, Joe, when I hear someone like Warren Sharp say, how do you trade with that team and give them that receiver? The answer lies in, they didn't give them the receiver. They said, we're not taking him anyway, so if they want him, they're going to get him. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So you could be upset thinking, well, you shouldn't trade with the Chiefs no matter what. Have a blanket rule. That's fine, because they are the Chiefs, and you have this scar tissue, and you think. But if it gets to you gave them Xavier Worthy, there's nothing the Bills could do with Xavier Worthy and the Chiefs once the Bills decided they didn't want him.
Well, they could trade with someone else.
But that doesn't mean that team's taking him.
But you could ask them.
The Bills wouldn't know that, I'm saying.
You could ask them if they're going to take Worthy, or you
they
could
just
take Worthy.
They would not tell you. Brandon Bean has said that. Brandon Bean has said that. He said teams don't do that.
I just think it's baked in a little bit there, even what Sharp is saying. Like, why aren't we? This is one answer we don't get. Why don't you want Worthy? Like, what is it about him that has the Chiefs loving him and you don't? Because that's one way they don't get him. If you have a close enough evaluation of that player to what Kansas City does, then they don't get their guy. Like, they're lucky, I guess, in a way, because the Bills are just as desperate at receiver, if not more, than they are. The Chiefs are lucky that the Bills don't have the same evaluation of Worthy. That's maybe the biggest threat to them not getting their guy, but it didn't line up. And I think with receiver coming in, and I've been talked into Worthy more and more over the weeks that he's a more complete player than just the 40 time. And you get to the night, and then, okay, there he is, and they don't pick him. And again, Bean's not going to tell you exactly why, so you're just kind of left in the dark. Like, what was it that had the Chiefs loving him so much more than you did?
That's right. And look, I like Worthy, right? I mocked him to the Bills. I've been telling you for the last week, this guy fits everything they've been talking about. I mean, he's run after catch, ball in his hands, all that kind of stuff. He's a punt returner. He's exactly the fit. But it's certainly possible that Brandon Bean just and his staff just don't feel he's going to be a good NFL player. Like, yeah, Yeah, we're okay with giving Kansas City. Like, if they want to take him, we'll stop him. Like, we don't think he's going to be that good. It's certainly possible. Because so you're right. We're not going to know that. We're not going to know what they didn't like about him to say, we don't care. And if Kansas City gets him, we don't care. Tonight, have you thought about Cooper DeJean at 33 and what you would think if they did that?
I have. We talked about him a little bit earlier this morning. He is, by the way, do we know, is it DeJean or DeJean? I think I've been hearing both, but DeJean maybe the
I
more.
Believe it's DeJean, okay. But I am holding out the fact that I'm still okay with if someone tells me it's not and it's the other way.
Yeah. So he's not my favorite idea at all. I mean, I want them to pick a receiver tonight, and I want them to do it twice and start off the draft with it in round two. But he's definitely possible. I hear you about the Hyde comparison. They went to the same school, right? And what McDermott likes in a defensive back. The thing that I don't love is what is his role going to be early on? Because he can do a lot of different things in theory, but I looked, and I think the reason, by the way, that he's being talked about as a safety is NFL teams are putting it out there. Like, I looked up, what I looked up first was, okay, let me look. Like, what did he play at Iowa? What did he play more of? How much at each? And I looked, and I was startled to see that in his entire career at Iowa, he played a single snap at safety. One.
Yeah, he's not really a college safety. He's a corner in college.
Right. He played two snaps at wide receiver, and he only played one at safety. He played over 1,100 at cornerback on the outside, and then 168 at slot. So this guy at Iowa was used primarily in the spot that you're going to see Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford. But why is it out there that he could play different positions? There were a bunch of reports that I found after I saw the stats. Like, okay, well then what is it? And there are a lot of reports that teams think that he's a better fit in the NFL for playing the safety position and can bump down into the nickel position. So teams believe that he can adjust to that. And I would say if there is a position that you are going to switch to in the NFL, going from corner to safety probably is one of the easier ones, if not even the easiest one to get a hold of. But the reason I don't love it is because I just don't think he's going to do a lot for you right away. You've said about, they made the point about the Bills and young safeties, how they just don't play him. But on top of that, I don't only have a young safety, I have a guy that hasn't really done it before. So how long before I am going to feel comfortable with him playing that position at that age when he hasn't really done it? I just feel like that could be a player that doesn't make a much of an impact for me in year one. And that, in addition to the position he plays, I think is spooking me.
Yeah, that's a really, those are all valid points. I've said over the years, there's been guys who've come into this league who I've said, he's a guy you can kind of put anywhere. He doesn't have a true position, but you can put him anywhere.
That does feel like this
and
guy.
And then there's guys that have come in and I've said, he doesn't have a true position and he really doesn't. You know, he doesn't fit in one specific spot, and you have a tough time putting him. For me, that was like a Peppers. Like, Peppers, he's been okay, Jabril Peppers. I never thought he'd really excel at any one position.
Is,
you know what I mean?
Who's the other guy? Isaiah Simmons for this, right?
Yes, yes, right. Being talked about Cooper DeJean, still looking at trying to go to Iowa football, actually, to see the pronunciation guide. I can't find one right now. But Bean talked about him last week and even said whoever uses him can kind of move him around. Yeah. He does remind me of like that kind of skill set. Micah Hyde type of skill set. The Bills do like those guys. But I agree with that point. And I've said it's hard for me to see a guy playing safety early on. Agreed with you. And Joe, they're not putting him at corner. I've been convinced for a while. The Bills are not drafting over Christian Benford. They're just not going to happen. And Rasul Douglas is starting, obviously. I think it's a wasted pick to go corner that early. Now we are in the second round. But that's an indictment then on what they feel about Benford, let alone Kyrie Elam, which obviously they may not feel very strongly about him. All right, what about the wide receivers? We'll talk about them, the options available. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the Extra Point Show on day number two, Friday of the NFL Draft. All right, Jim in Rochester. Go ahead, Jim. You got about 1 minute. Wanted to squeeze you in here. Go ahead, buddy.
All right, I hope they take three receivers with these next few picks. But the one thing I noticed that he didn't say, and I don't know if he would say it, was that they counteroffered to try and get a sweeter deal. That's what bugs me. And that, maybe he doesn't reveal that, but it just seems like the two teams that they have ties with, Kansas City from Reed and Carolina, they probably could have got an extra pick if they, even if it's late. And I didn't hear him say anything about any type of counteroffer that they rejected.
I'm sure it's a negotiation. I mean, you know, he said talks started three or four picks before that, and you know that Brian Gain was on the phone with them. So I'm sure they're going back and forth on that. He doesn't have to reveal every detail of it, of course, but I'm sure they're going back and forth. So yeah, I got it, Jim. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Joe, all right. I just looked up the way to pronounce it, and I found an interview at the Combine. Mike Florio welcomes in Cooper DeJean, and he does not correct him.
Okay. Cooper DeJean. All right, I'll roll DeJean. With that.
DeJean. And it's not even a J. It's an actually J sound. DeJean, he called him.
All right. So Joe, maybe we'll need to know that.
Yeah, that we might. 33. But let's say it's not. Let's say it's a wide receiver. Here we go, Joe DiBiase. Mm-hmm. Give me your rankings of who you like best and you're comfortable with the Bills taking tonight in what order at wide receiver.
All right. I think I would go Troy Franklin, number one. I would go Ladd McConkey, number two. Then I would probably just personally go Adonai Mitchell, number three, despite the fact I really don't think they would do it, but you never know. I would go Mitchell, three. And then it would really want it to be one of those three for the first pick. But beyond that, I would get to Jalen Polk, probably, and then Javon Baker. I would say that's my top five. I would not have Keon Coleman in there, despite the fact that he's usually ranked, I think, higher than a couple of those guys.
Okay. I will go Ladd McConkey, number one. I would think that he would be. To me, I really like Ladd. I think Troy Franklin would be my number two. So I'm just going to flip those two. You had Franklin one, Ladd two.
Okay, yep.
And then it's Javon Baker for me.
Nice.
UCF. I like him next. And then it's Keon Coleman. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think he fits and checks all the boxes that we talk about all the time with the Bills that they've talked about. But the guy can play. He's still got a lot of great attributes. So he would be next for me. And then after that, Polk, you know, and I don't know a lot about this guy, but I'm going to trust my guy, Emory Hunt. He loves Malachi Corley, by the way, at Western Kentucky. And maybe he's a guy. I'm not a big A.D. Mitchell fan. I guess I could put him up there in that group. After Baker, I'd put him in there somewhere with that group. You know, so, you know, I'd be okay. You know, if the, again, I always try to remember. I don't know all the info on these guys. The teams do, but those three would be my guys. Ladd,
yeah.
Troy Franklin, and Baker.
Quickly, this guy is worth mentioning. I don't think the Bills would be the team to take him, but Jermaine Burton from Alabama, who never had a drop in his career, like really good stuff from him at Alabama. I've seen certain things written about him where like he would have been a first-round pick, like middle of the first round, if it wasn't for teams just want nothing to do with this dude. Like just whatever questions there are about Mitchell, it feels like they're a lot more concrete with Burton.
NFL draft coverage rolls on tonight. Starts at 7 o'clock. We'll have it here for you on WGR. Sabres Live up next, then One Bills Live, Chopin the Bulldog. Have a great weekend, everyone. It continues with the NFL draft here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.